Hi, it's David Brown, and you're listening to the Texas Standard. I was too young to remember the actual broadcast, but I do remember how upset my dad and mom were at hearing the news. The date was April 4th, 1968, 50 years ago. It was just about supper time in Texas, 5:30 in the afternoon, and the CBS Evening News was coming on the TV. Walter Cronkite, the guy they used to call the most trusted man in America, was about to make an announcement that would change the course of American history. And you are about to relive that moment. Stand by.
Direct from our newsroom in Washington, in color, this is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite and Russ Hodge in Memphis, Tennessee, Dan Rather in New York, Bernard Kalb in Saigon, Marvin Kalb in Wellington, New Zealand, and Bert Quint in Khe Sanh, South Vietnam.
Good evening. Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee. Police have issued an all-points bulletin for a well-dressed young white man seen running from the scene. Officers also reportedly chased and fired on a radio-equipped car containing two white men. Dr. King was standing on the balcony of a second-floor hotel room tonight when, according to a companion, a shot was fired from across the street. In the friend's words, the bullet exploded in his face. Police, who have been keeping a close watch over the Nobel Peace Prize winner because of Memphis' turbulent racial situation, were on the scene almost immediately. They rushed the 39-year-old Negro leader to a hospital where he died of a bullet wound in the neck. Police said they found a high-powered hunting rifle about a block from the hotel, but it was not immediately identified as the murder weapon. Mayor Henry Loeb has reinstated the dusk-to-dawn curfew he imposed on the city last week when a march led by Dr. King erupted in violence. Governor Buford Ellington has called out 4,000 National Guardsmen, and police report that the murder has touched off sporadic acts of violence in a Negro section of the city. In a nationwide television address, President Johnson expressed the nation's shock.
America is shocked and saddened by the brutal slaying tonight of Dr. Martin Luther King. I ask every citizen to reject the blind violence that has struck Dr. King, who lived by nonviolence.
Dr. King had returned to Memphis only yesterday, determined to prove that he could lead a peaceful mass march in support of striking sanitation workers, most of whom are Negroes. Dr. King had this to say last night about the situation in Memphis.
Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest for right.
There was shock in Harlem tonight when word of Dr. King's murder reached the nation's largest Negro community. Men, women, and children poured into the streets. They appeared dazed. Many were crying. A young Negro said, Dr. King didn't really have to go back to Memphis. Maybe he wanted to prove something.
That is the voice of Walter Cronkite on April 4th. 1968. Joining us now is Bob Duckins. He was president of the Prairie View A&M Choir in 1968. Bob, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Bob, is it true that the Prairie View A&M Choir had had an opportunity to actually sing for Dr. King?
Yes, we did. He graciously gave us an opportunity at midnight at the Lorraine Motel to sing for him.
Alleluia.
Tell us a little bit about that, would you?
Yeah, we stopped in Memphis at the Lorraine Motel because at that time we couldn't stay in the Sheridan or some of those places, and our bus driver needed to have rest before moving on. So that's where we stopped. The conductor, Dr. Anderson, said to me, that Martin Luther King was there, and he wanted us to sing for him. But when Dr. King got back to the hotel after his strategy meeting, it was at midnight, and so Doc just came around and woke us up.
Midnight, singing for Dr. King, he must have been exhausted.
Oh, he was, but he was so gracious and so kind, and I will never forget his look, the look on his face, even 50 years later. It's just unbelievable, the glory that was on the man. This was a spiritual movement that started in the church. This just wasn't a movement. It was more than that. And he epitomized that.
I want to bring in your brother, DeCille Duckins, who, as I understand it, y'all did a reenactment of that performance just 2 weeks before King's assassination. Is that right?
I was given the opportunity to conduct the choir to sing the same piece that they sang in 68, Alleluia by Randall Thompson. And so when I was asked to do that, I got on the phone and called all of these people, tried to find as many of the young people who were actually in the choir during that time to see if I could engage them to come. And we were able to get at least six. And man, what a fabulous opportunity. And the audience just went crazy. There were people crying in the audience when we sang Monday night. Yeah, it was just awesome. It's just awesome. Something to I will forever remember. Ever remember.
Me too. It brought back many memories. Oh, God. It was wonderful.
You know, when you hear Walter Cronkite talking about this, you know, at the time he was he was almost like a father figure for the nation, right? I mean, you know,
absolutely.
You hear him relating that information. What came back to your mind as you heard that?
You know, I have to tell you, I was angry. They had just killed my hero. This was a man who was willing to give his life for humanity and for people who didn't have a voice. And I was just angry, and it brought back that anger when I heard that.
Yeah, and for me, it took me back to Prairie View because I was in school at that time when we got the news. I think Bob and them was still on the bus traveling back to Prairie View when they got the news.
Right.
Yeah, and I was at Prairie View when we got the news, and the campus just went into an uproar. It was just horrible. But everybody was hurt, angry, hurt, sad. So it created a lot of feelings that you try to hold back, or you have tried to get rid of, you know, over the years because of the treatment. You know, being a black man in America has not always been the best thing, but
never has been.
Thanks be to God. You know, we've survived. We made it.
I think a lot of people, white folks, listening to Walter Cronkite that night, were worried that the country might explode. You know,
absolutely. Sure they were. They were.
But you know what happened? We remembered Dr. King, because he was extremely strong on never
non-violence.
Having violence for evil. You treat evil with nonviolence. And that's what kept this nation together. That speech that Bobby Kennedy did was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, because Dr. King always said, you know, hatred cannot destroy hatred.
Right.
Only love can destroy hatred.
When you think back on this date 50 years ago, I mean, what are your thoughts? What comes to mind when you think about the assassination of King and what's transpired since?
Let me tell you my feelings. Dr. King came to Memphis because of economic equality. And every time in this country we start thinking and talking about economic equality, then we bring up other social issues to drown that out. If we had economic equality, it would take care of a lot of social issues that we have today. And the man gave his life for that. That's how I feel.
So 50 years later, Are you optimistic about the state of race relations, or well, how do you feel?
I tell you,
only for me, only because I know the Lord for myself, and He's going to fix it. Man, so you can't change the heart of a man. And so the injustice that has been, some people have been raised with it, it's a part of their heart. And you cannot change a man's heart. He has to do that for himself. So it's hard to say how, I mean, in the situation that we're in today, and I don't mean any harm, but with our president today and what's going on, if the hearts of people do not change, it will never change.
Here, and that's what I said earlier. I said that this was a spiritual movement. You can't destroy a spiritual movement. People thought that they were destroying the spiritual movement when they killed Christ. You can't destroy a spiritual movement. When the time is right and the season is right, we're going to see it in the natural.
That is the voice of Bob Duckins. He was president of the Prairie View A&M Choir in 1968, just 2 weeks before Dr. King was assassinated. He sang before Dr. King at the Lorraine Motel. His brother, Dasiel Duckins, conducted the choir that reenacted that performance in Memphis on Monday night. Bob, Dasiel, thank you so much for taking time to speak with us on the Texas Standard.
Thank
we certainly
you for
do
calling.
Appreciate it.
All right, have a good
thank
day.
You. Yeah, be blessed.